following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org.
Do you remember a time in your life when it became very clear to you that you needed to grow up in a hurry? Maybe it was when you got married. And you realize that now you are not just living independently, and that whole dating thing, even that whole engaged thing, is not a being married thing. And so when it came to finances or maybe buying a house and adulting in a larger degree, you realized you really needed to grow up. Or even if you had a child, I don't think I'm the only one who had that moment when the car seat came out of the car and then you set the car seat in the living room and you looked around and you thought to yourself, nurses are not on call anymore. And this little life and the trajectory of this little life is now in our hands. Whose idea was this? Maybe it was something that was entirely out of your control. Something traumatic, something tragic. Maybe a relationship entirely went awry. Maybe something happened at work, a giant shift, or you lost your job. Maybe there was something in the family or very close to home, and all of a sudden you were not ready. It's not like God gave you a preparation plan and then also gave you the time frame and then said, here you go, this is what you're gonna have to do so that you're ready to grow up when this thing happens. No, like a smack outside of nowhere, you were totally unprepared, but you knew that when those life circumstances hit, you needed to grow up a little bit. And so when we say that, sometimes it can come across as a mean thing, a slightly derogatory thing, especially if somebody tells you, grow up, it typically comes across that way, but that's not the only way we mean that. What do we mean when we say to grow up? We mean that we have a certain set of responsibilities and capabilities and qualities in and of ourselves, and that those, wherever they are in the moment, based on the demands in our life that surround us, we need to be up here a little more. And then when those demands rise and when those expectations get a little bit higher, we, according to our abilities, our wisdom, our qualities, our capabilities, we need to be a little bit higher. That's what we mean, broadly speaking, when we mean to grow up. And to even say those words, kids, I know that it's the month of May, and boy, do you guys love school right around this time. Or you just wish you could have like 15 recesses. When you hear the words grow up, sometimes it can come across as though there's somebody who is up there, some wiser, older, maybe better person according to whatever standards, who's telling us, maybe with index finger extended, it's time for you to grow up. And so we can kind of bristle at that. However, what if we took that off the table? In other words, that hesitation and that bristling, that this is now somewhat of some command that somebody is expecting of us. What if no less than Jesus himself has designed you and me to always live and be in this state of growing up or maturing? After all, that is exactly how we could qualifiably describe Jesus and the state in which he leaves his disciples, and not only those 12 and the others that were with him, but the state in which he leaves disciples, followers like you and me today. So of all the ways that we know what it means when Jesus came into this world, I would say that there's a lot of people that don't know really what it means when Jesus left this world bodily. But it is just as important as he completed his saving work for us. And so of all the things that you should know what ascension means, you should know this. Ascension means that it is always time to grow up. Ascension means that it is always time to grow up. Look at how he left the disciples. The entire relationship was about to change. I mean, imagine the only way that you ever knew Jesus was face to face. Could you imagine that? Face to face, watching him heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, lame people walk. And now all of a sudden, after going through such a whirlwind 43 days prior, where Jesus was wrongly captured and tried and convicted, and then nailed to a cross, and you thought you lost it all, and then when you're hiding because you think you're next, Jesus appears and brings you peace, and those are not just empty words. That is an eternal status he gives. First words out of his mouth, peace be with you. That's what a risen Lord who conquered death and sin gives, not just to them, but to us all. And then for 40 days, you heard in Acts chapter 1, he gave them many convincing proofs. How much more convincing is it when the guy who you knew was crucified is now walking and appearing? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us to over 500 other people who otherwise didn't believe, they now are saying, at the risk of their own harm, yes, he's certainly alive. And he's showing them the nails in his hands and in his feet, the spear piercing in his side. It doesn't get much more convincing and proven than that. But now he ascends. So if all you ever knew was this face-to-face relationship with Jesus, now when he ascends into heaven, this is an entire reorientation of the relationship. And my friends, it is with you and me too. He ascended into heaven. Imagine if he didn't. I alluded to it with the children's message. If Jesus was still bodily here, in order for you to be in the presence of your Savior, in order for you to receive blessings from your Savior, in this very personal and intimate way that he promises, you'd have to go see him. So you'd have to journey to Jerusalem. You'd have to go to Galilee or wherever he is. But the fact that he ascended, it means that he now is in the best place possible, not only preparing a place for you, but now pouring out and doling out blessings that never, ever run out and will never go dry. And he, yes, can not only promise, but can keep the promise that he is with you personally, to the very end of the age. Some of the last words he said on while here on earth. And why is that? Why this whole reorientation? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, he's talking to people who only knew paganness, who only knew legalism from these Jewish leaders around them, expecting their consciences to be burdened all the more, or just finding empty, worthless, facade-like pleasure in a world that was only leaving them disappointed and empty in the end. And then, just as Jesus came and changed Saul to Paul and reoriented his life, so also the gospel did the same thing with these Ephesian Christians. Instead of being lost in the meaningless trivialities of this world, they now knew what it was like to not be left in the darkness, but to have the one who is light, and to be in Christ, to be saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. No more of this rat race. No more of this worrying. We have life, and it is all in Christ. These Ephesians came to know that by God's grace through the Spirit, just like you and I know that. And so now that Christ has ascended, he goes on to tell them in Ephesians chapter 4, as you just heard, he now gives these wonderful gifts. What does he give? It is Christ who gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. You could say he gave now people to serve one another with the gospel. Why? So that we'll grow up. We got some growing up to do. I had to say this in the mirror before I had to say it to you. So in all fairness, this isn't just me saying this to you. This is us saying this to us. We have some growing up to do. When Jesus ascended, he did not leave us without a paradigm or a pattern. He did not leave us without a system or any organization. He reoriented it so that now he would send people who would be qualified and who would also be called to do what? To share God's word so that through the preaching and the teaching and the edification of the word, we would grow up and would not be left to the paradigms and patterns of this world. So raise your hand if you've graduated. Didn't think so. We got some growing up to do. As a pastor, the number one thing, if I'm doing my job, my calling right, it is that you would not think of me primarily. It's that you would think of God's word. You have a Christian teacher in your life. That might be a called teacher, like you think of those that serve in Sunday school or our preschool teachers who serve in that capacity. Or maybe an example, somebody who teaches a small group Bible study here at our church, or even just serves as an example in your life here or elsewhere. When they are doing their job rightly, as a Christian teacher, formally called or just in the vocation of your friend, they are pointing you to God's word, which challenges you in ways that are new every morning, which causes you to question the principles and paradigms you have for your own life, which you think sometimes, as I do, that we have it all figured out, but we don't. and which dole out to you the wonderful and endless blessings of God's forgiveness and peace, which have no end. And what you will experience from God's word and that grace and that peace and that forgiveness tomorrow and next month and next year will be newer and better than what you even know now. That's what God promises. That's what he provides. And when a teacher and when a pastor and when a fellow Christian is doing that, the best thing that you think of is not the personality, not the obstacles in our own brain, but God's word. And that will challenge you in ways that I think are very healthy. The theme for our service is that it is just Easter. It's the one thing that stands in the face of everything else, and it even saves us from stagnation. I can't make you grow. You can't make me grow. But what you and I cannot say is that God established the church and the ministry of the gospel so that we would be the same mundane, ho-hum, here today, same tomorrow kind of people. The one thing you and I cannot say is that the status quo is how we go. The one thing that you and I can never say is that our time in church and our time in God's word is no different according to the world's eyes as though we are punching in and out of a 9 to 12 clock. When is the last time? No one else challenged you with this, but maybe you challenged yourself with this. That you looked at yourself in the mirror with nothing else, no personality, no excuse, well, that pastor or that teacher or that person, none of that garbage. You looked yourself in the mirror with God's word and you asked yourself, am I growing? Am I building myself up? Am I surrounding myself with believers who challenge me? Or do I think that spiritually where I am today is okay? Because if you believe that last part, by the way, that is the biggest load of deceitfulness that the devil has caused our time to believe in. And if you want to be fed that garbage, what goes in comes out. If you think for a moment that where you are today is exactly where you should be tomorrow. I'm not talking about being in the status of a forgiven child of God. That is a given because I know I'm talking to believers. And if there are some here today who are unsure about this, you are more than invited to listen on in to this conversation. I know I'm talking to believers, but the Savior who conquered everything and finished salvation, ascended into heaven to watch a bunch of people abide by the status quo? Are you kidding me? He sits on the throne in heaven so we could be like, eh, my spiritual life can be characterized as meh. Really? I'm not accusing you of that. I do know that it is all too common. I do know that there are many people who struggle with that. And I also know that there may be few to no people who will call it out. But Jesus does. His apostle does. It is Christ who gave what? He gave these wonderful and eternal blessings of forgiveness and peace and life everlasting, that you have a place in heaven with your name on it. Why? So that this would be shared in the ministry of the gospel as he gives prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers, so that the body of believers might be, what does he say? Flat. Stagnant. Boring. Like a bunch of believers who are no better than people who stand around and pick their nose? I have to say it that way because what you have to call it for what it is. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. What God does for you in the blessings that he doles out in Christ is he saves us from the lie and the believing of the lie that we by our own can just kind of check in and check out, and that whatever we know now, we have graduated from. There's no cap, therefore there is no moving the tassel when it comes to your Christian life. And where you are now as a believer, God has so much more in store for you as you grow in the knowledge of his forgiveness. I mean, think about this. You even know this as a believer. The last time you had a plan in your life, and then as the wise philosopher Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You had a plan for your life and it looked like this. And then all of a sudden it went like that. And then what did that cause you to do when you realized that the remote control in your hand, so to speak, is fake? And that the one who has the whole world in his hands includes your world. What did that cause you to do? You had to rely on the one who holds you in the palm of his hands and remember what those palms look like, those convincing proofs. They still hold the marks of his death for you to save you from this world and to be lost in it, to save you from every trap, every stumble, every failure, and every sin. You've known that just in the time span of your own life, wherever you are. So can I ask you, doesn't God have more growing for you to do by tomorrow or next year? Imagine what your perspective will be then. Not to mention, the same God who has given these gifts, the gospel ministry in which we share, does he not call us then to challenge ourselves to serve? So whether you consider where you can possibly serve in the church, opportunities abound. But this property is not the only way that you can serve. Thanks be to God. It's a big wide world out there. When it comes to the people in your life, the people who don't know what Christ-like hospitality is, who don't know what it's like to have no edge when it comes to other people, who don't really know what it's like to have unconditional, no-catch grace. That's what we have in Christ, and the world just so happens to not have that. So you, my friends, as the blessings given by Christ to this world, have a lot to offer, do we not? So then the one thing we can never say is that we can do the same. The one thing we should never believe is that the status quo is our MO. The one thing we can never abide by is whatever we did last time, it's good this time. Christ is too big for that. And we are his followers, and therefore we shouldn't settle for that either. Because ascension means it's always time to be growing up. And we're not there yet. Notice how he continues. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And do you know when that is? That word until is important. When you see the fullness of Christ and all that it is, when you are fully matured, when you realize absolutely everything, and I know this is kind of silly to talk about maturity because some of you have a shirt that's older than me. But when you think about maturity, are you really ever fully mature? I am willing to bet that there are certain people in your life, maybe it's some friends, maybe it's some family members, where all you gotta do is start sharing some stories and you start giggling like teenagers. You start kind of acting silly, maybe a little mature. There's always a little bit of immaturity in us. All of that is to illustrate, we all have a little couple areas in our life where we can grow, certainly, but it's more than just beyond silly stories or acting like old times around friends, especially to the depth of the bottom of our soul. What does Christ have in store for us between now and whenever we see the fullness of him in heaven? That's what he's talking about. Well, I'd like to illustrate it to you this way. There's a motherly perspective. Parent, dads have it too, but today's not your day. Moms, there's this motherly perspective where if you look back at your children and all you have to do is see a picture of them half of their lifetime ago, all of a sudden, waterworks. It just takes you back. And as soon as you see that picture, what does it unwrap? It unwraps for you a totally different time, a totally different way that you interacted with them. And then you think of all of the ways that they have grown since then. You take each of your children today and do that, I challenge you. To take your children and to divide their life by two and then think about that. Not only what it was like back then, but what God has done through you for them since then. That gives you reason to thank him chiefly. But is that not true for all of us? Take your life, no matter how old you are, and divide it by two. Now, whatever that age is, I want you to think back to that time, how you viewed the world, and how you understood people, what you thought about the Christian faith, and the depth of your understanding of God's word, his teachings, which are only meant to protect and keep and provide and encourage you. Take that. I want you to look really hard at that person. Try not to snicker too much. But what did that person know about the world compared to what you know now? What was that person able to handle compared to what you can handle now? What did that person know about love or parenting or family or their Christian faith compared to what you know now? You look in those eyes and what do you think? Oh yeah, I'll go back to that. I won't do this, but who of you would raise your hand and say, oh yeah, I'll go back to that naivete right now? Me neither. So then, what that illustrates very clearly is that you have a God who has matured you, who has caused you to grow up, not just as a human being, which is part of his blessings, of course, but also through his word. And so if he has done that just with half your lifetime, it doesn't matter if it is 4 years or if it is 40 years, then what does tomorrow look like? And what does next year look like? Because until we reach the fullness of the unity of the body of believers and we see the matchless grace face to face and experience peace in reality with Christ in heaven, until we reach that, because we're not there yet, then would you agree that the ascended Christ has given us a job to do? We've got some growing up to do. That's true whether you're a mom or a child, whether today's your youth confirmation day, or you're thinking back to your own youth confirmation day with the promise that you made to grow, to be strengthened in the knowledge of God's word. And so with Christ in heaven who promises to pour out blessings, the one thing you and I do not have is fear or worry. In fact, with Christ who has ascended and our marching orders in front of us, our future is only looking bright as he causes us to grow and mature in him. God grant that to us all. Amen.